All right, we're speaking here with Representative Roger Marshall, the incumbent here for the 1st District in Kansas. First of all, Representative Marshall, what are some ways you'd like to see improvement in bipartisanship in the House and the U.S. in general?
Yeah, Brandon. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on today. It's great to be back in Manhattan here with the Secretary of Agriculture for a land election, and just so proud of thinking back to my college days of getting to do Landon lectures and to continue with now. You know, bipartisanship, I think it starts with the day-to-day, moment-to-moment personal relationship. Just this past week, I spent a couple of days in Minnesota with the minority leader on agriculture, Colin Peterson. And Colin, big agriculture district, obviously, he flew me around in his little Beechcraft airplane. We saw the beginning waters, the headwaters of the Mississippi River. And he showed me why agriculture is important to him. And we talked about the sugar beet industry in particular. So to me, it starts off with one-on-one relationships. Instead of talking about what we could be doing, I wanted to share what I am doing. And that would be one example. On the House Agriculture Committee, I've sat down with every Democrat on that committee and asked, why is agriculture important to you? I've been part of 5 bipartisan freshman social events. We've done the Holocaust Museum. We went to Mount Vernon together. So to me, it's about building relationships. And the last thing I would say is just so many of us have taken this oath of civility that we will speak positive of our friends across the aisle and not, you know, say negative things about them, especially when we have a TV camera in front of us. So to me, it starts out with looking in the mirror and saying, what can I do?
All right. Well, as far as the farm bill is concerned, I know the September 30th deadline came and went here. Are you concerned with Congress's inability so far to pass a farm bill?
Well, I sure wish we had already finished the job, but we're very, very close. Unfortunately, everybody went home to campaign rather than to finish up the farm bill. So it was very close. There's a couple I's dot T's across. So far, there's been minimal funding mechanisms that have ran out. December 30th is the true drop-dead date. So I still have a lot of confidence that we'll get it finished up within a week or two of going back to Washington. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to sit down with the House Minority Leader, Colin Peterson, and just say, what else can we do to move this ball forward? So I think after talking to Colin, we're very close. I know Senator Roberts is working night and day on this as well. So I have every reason to believe we'll get it done by the December 30th deadline.
All right. So you don't see any potential for any programs to be in threat of shutting down then?
In the short term, no. None of the major programs that Kansas agriculture are dependent upon will be shut down in the short term. If it goes past December 30th, it would. But if that's the case, we'll do some type of a continuing resolution. But I have every intention of getting this dipped up by December the 30th.
All right. Fair enough. President Trump's administration has reached a new trade deal with Canada and Mexico, but tariffs on various countries continue to remain in place. Does it look like there's any end to that in sight here, at least in the short term?
Oh, absolutely. I know, of course, the president's meeting with China's President Xi here very, very soon. Recently spoke with Greg Dowd, the U.S. Trade Deal for Agriculture. I know that we're very close on some projects with India, and the European Union and Japan are very serious about renegotiating those deals as well. So those are very much front center. Once we get those done, it'll give us a lot more leverage to deal with China. What I know is we cannot keep doing what we've been doing with China. They're slowly bleeding us to death, especially bleeding agriculture to death. They steal $500 billion of intellectual property from us every year. 90% of our counterfeits that come into this country come in from a manufactured in China, and they make 90% of the fentanyl, which is a drug that causes overdose and killing people. So we need to deal with China. There's going to be some short-term pain, but the long-term opportunity is tremendous.
Is there anything more that can be done to stop the tariffs from hurting, specifically here, ag producers here? I know that there's been a little bit of aid here, but it doesn't sound like that's going to continue into next year.
Well, I think what can be done is number one, we got the NAFTA 2.0 done, and people need to realize we export 4 times more to Canada and Mexico than we do to China. So that's a huge market. So what we need to do is to continue to open up new markets and not be so dependent upon the Chinese market. You know, just spoke to the Department of Agriculture secretary today, and he spoke about the other half of the mitigation money, that there's a 99% chance that in December we'll be distributing that money as well. But mostly, the way to protect them is just to get these trade deals done. But again, I just can't emphasize enough, whatever we've been doing the past 10 or 20 years is not working. Agriculture has been slowly bled to death, and we cannot allow China to keep taking advantage of us.
Yeah, we're speaking with Congressman Roger Marshall of the of Kansas's 1st District here. You had a chance to attend the lecture here today with Sonny Perdue, the Ag Secretary. Well, I guess what stood out from his speech today that you heard? I know you talked a lot about the changing of customer service here for the USDA.
Well, what stands out to me is every time I hear Secretary Perdue speak is what a quality person he is. And the principles that he learned as a young kid on a farm are the same principles that continue to guide his life. This idea of perseverance and leaving it better than we found it, all those things are so important to him. And you see those values permeate the job he's doing as Secretary of Agriculture, including making the Department of USDA much more efficient, leaner, and much more customer-focused. And across the district and really across the state, when I talk to producers, to farmers, to ranchers, that's what they would tell you, is that the USDA has become a friendlier agency to deal with. And that's why I'm working so hard for an agriculture guest worker visa that Sonny Perdue also could be in charge of. So it's a great relationship. It's great to hear him talk about NBAF. This is his third trip here to Manhattan now. We toured NBAF together a couple months ago. And by the way, he loves turkey hunt, and we're planning on getting down to the Great Bend area for a big turkey hunt.
Well, moving on to another subject here, we've heard a lot about in the news. There's been talks of deploying an unannounced number of military personnel to the border in light of the migrant caravan making its way through Mexico. Do you think this is the appropriate response?
Yeah, absolutely. I supported this, the president's idea of securing our borders from day one. There's no way we can process 4,000, 10,000 immigrants at the same time. It's just completely impossible to do that. And based upon everything I know, that somewhere maybe 5% of the people in that caravan are not good actors. They're sex trafficking, they're drug trafficking. They probably have been kicked out of this country before. They're gang members. There's no way, as your congressman, I can say it's okay to let 5,000 people come across our border without vetting every one of them. And I've said from day one that 800 soldiers isn't going to be enough to take on a crowd of 5,000 people. So if we're going to do this, let's do it right. Let's get our border secure. And I'm going to continue to support the president's request for more funding to secure our border.
Are any concerns with how the situation might play out? There's the possibility that it could get violent down there.
Yeah, absolutely I'm concerned about that. But I think the consequences of doing nothing are way worse. I wish these people would obey our laws and come through the proper channels and do it the right way. But they're the ones that are making that choice. They're the ones that are breaking our laws. So there has to be some type of border enforcement security there. I hope that they don't start the violence. I hope that they can do it peacefully. But there's proper ways to come into our country. We are a country of law and order.
All right. Do you think the U.S. maybe should let me rephrase that? Should the U.S. look at working with the U.N. to address the issue based on the sheer number of migrants coming up?
I think the U.N. has been a failure in dealing with all these situations. If you would see what's going on in Syria, all those refugees, the U.N. We are the U.N. So whenever it comes to any type of solution, they want the United States to apply all the forces and all the people. But if I could just say one thing, look, this is just another symptom of the disease that's going on right now. The disease is our borders are not secure, and we don't have modern, efficient, and proper immigration rules and laws. And Congress needs to stand up and do our job and pass some good immigration reform, something the president has requested that we get done. He's giving us leadership. But it's time for Congress to stand up and write some good, comprehensive immigration laws that are fair for all concerned, immigration laws with good long-term solutions that prioritize people who can take care of themselves and their families.
All right. And just kind of following up to that point here, what are the chances that we get some more progress on that here, especially if Republicans can keep controlling the House and Senate?
Gosh, I would think that whoever controls the House and Senate should be motivated to fix immigration, that this should be a bipartisan solution. I think that once President Trump gets his funding to secure the border, which I fully support, I think other dominoes will fall. So whether you're for or against securing the border, I think that everyone just needs to recognize that this president has made this a priority, and I agree with him. So let's get that funding done. We've given him about $3 billion already. He wants another $20 billion approximately. And so I'm all in favor of doing that. Once that happens, I think then we'll be able to have more serious discussions about DACA recipients, agriculture guest worker visas, high school visa worker visas as well. We're very close on having enough votes to get the agriculture visa component of this done. So I'm very optimistic.
All right, and final topic here, Congressman Marshall. Internet speeds in rural areas have been notoriously poor. In what ways are you hoping to push to improve connection in these areas in the upcoming session?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's actually a big component of the Farm Bill is infrastructure dollars for rural America, and there's specifically dollars designated to help that happen. We've also had several other funding mechanisms that we've made this a priority for as well. So what, one of the big things we're trying to do right now is figure out exactly where are those dead spots, where are the low speeds. There was a map that was generated. It's not very accurate. So the first thing we're doing is saying, look, let's go back here and figure out where the low spots are. And the other thing we need to make sure that happens is when we start implementing these dollars and spending these dollars, we're not just going back and duplicating services. That's what happened under the Obamacare plan. Is that they used a lot of dollars and just duplicated services rather than using those dollars in the areas that were truly underserved. So we're working with Secretary Pai and making sure that he's prioritizing dollars to be utilized in the places that need them the most.
All right. Final question here for you, Congressman Marshall. The election's next Tuesday. How optimistic are you here for your chances here?
Oh, I think we're in really, really good shape. Our internal polling has us up probably around 30 points. The national poll says the same thing. Las Vegas says we have a 99.9% chance of winning. So I think we're in great shape. I'm much more concerned about keeping the majority. I'm a big fan of Steve Watkins over in the Topeka area. And Lynn King can see he's going to do a great job for Kansas. Very concerned that we make sure we get Kevin Yoder over the finish line as well. If we don't keep this majority, there'll be nothing but just total disarray in Washington, D.C. They're going to, Pelosi's plan is to impeach the president, to abolish ICE, to open the borders. So I'm much, much more concerned about keeping this Republican majority.
All right. Well, Congressman Marshall, it's always good to talk to you. Thank you so much here for the time.
Okay. Yeah, you bet. Take care and welcome again to Manhattan.